Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I have Brittany Berger on, and I'm sorry, I should have asked you ahead of time if I hopefully didn't slaughter it for you. Brittany is a wonderful midwife up in New Hampshire that I've been doing these great interviews, and she just was going to, we had talked about some things before the recording that'll be really exciting. So Brittany, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Brittany, I always start out everybody is kind of your midwifery journey. Why did you become a midwife? Why did you choose the path you did? And what type of midwife are you practicing as now?
So as of right now, I'm practicing as a certified nurse midwife in New Hampshire, and I'm doing full scope, meaning I catch babies in the hospital and provide intrapartum care and everything that has to go with that, and also providing care in the office setting where I do everything from OB care to routine gynecological care, birth control, problem GYN visits, pretty much anything that walks in the door, I do. And how I started on my midwifery journey, I didn't really know I was on it at the time, but when I was 10 years old, I saw my cousin born to my aunt, who actually did help raise me. So it was kind of like watching your mom give birth. My mom was there as well. And she had her, this was her first and only baby. And there was a midwife in attendance. It was in a hospital. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. Prior to that, I thought pregnancy was just such a mystery. Mm-hmm. And loved being there for the birth. And my mom was like, I don't know if she's going to be okay. And I didn't, you know, I was there the whole time, everything. Wow. Saw her born with the first breastfeed and everything. And she's actually, I gotta think, she's 10 years younger than me. And she just, that baby just had her own baby. So it's, I think that's even possible. But that was the first really inkling of, oh my gosh, like, this is really cool. Babies being born is cool. And as the years went on, I knew about midwives, but didn't necessarily know that I could be one. So when I was going through high school, I thought I was going to be an OBGYN because those are the people who deliver babies. And then noticed that really the nursing approach, there was a health occupations program, which is like a vocational program in my high school, where you could become a nursing assistant while you're a senior. And just getting into that kind of led me more towards, oh, you can go to nursing school and you can then become a midwife. And I thought that was really interesting. And the other thing that really pushed me into that and also kind of gave me, you know, the fire behind that is my older brother, who is 19 months older than me. He was born, and at the time, he suffered birth trauma, and he has severe cerebral palsy. He is nonverbal. He can't walk, but is very much mentally there, in the sense where it's almost like taking care of like a toddler or baby on that, but he's 35. Yeah. I joke, old man now, but the main important thing is that my mom had a very traumatic birth experience, which is not unique to people who've had babies who don't do well afterwards. You can have a, you know, healthy mom, healthy baby, and still have a traumatic birth experience. But unfortunately, my mom had the traumatic experience, and also the baby who did not do well. And seeing just what my mom went through, obviously I wasn't even born when he was born, but seeing how that affected her birth choices with me and even my younger brother, and how that has affected her throughout her life, it has less to do with the actual physically what happened, but that the provider, it was a OBGYN who was at the delivery, never spoke to her again after that. And that was prior to any legal proceedings or anything like that. So really just that feeling of like, you know, this person delivered my baby and then won't even talk to me afterwards, I think made that what, you know, what could have happened if something medically was wrong or not.
Right.
You know,
the emotional connection involved in that role and experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And she went on to have an OBGYN who really listened to her. And her first appointment with this OBGYN when she was pregnant with me was 2.5 hours long, which was supposed to be a 15-minute visit. So that alone really helped her. So I definitely take that with me when I'm with my patients, that just being there and listening and, you know, following up with them. Because like I said, you know, it, bad things happen, good things happen that we can't anticipate. But if you feel supported through it, you know, your outcome, your view on what that experience was like is going to be much different than if you feel, you know,
abandoned. Yeah, it's all perception. Like we have it both directions. You can be in a birth and be like, oh my gosh, that went terrible. And the woman's like, I'm so happy. And you're like, oh my gosh, that was but to me was perceived as a terrible birth, but she relatively, or the opposite, like, oh, that was so beautiful. And she's just in the inside screaming. And yeah, so it's a huge part of perception and trying to take our own bias viewpoints out and really just understanding her perceptions of the experience and choices and options.
Mm-hmm. So that really made me passionate about that. But I went to nursing school and I actually had a baby in the right before I started actual nursing classes, which wasn't planned and definitely made things a little more difficult. But I went back to school when my daughter was 4 months old and finished out my bachelor's, which really just helped, you know, with that drive and all that rigor that happens with nursing school, just being like, I have to do this. It's not like, oh, I'll just figure it out. It was like, I need to be working ASAP. I need to reach goals with a little more, pep in my step than if it was just. So I finished nursing school and I was able to get a new grad job in a LDRP, labor, delivery, recovery, postpartum, where they do everything. And I had my preceptorship there, which was basically my senior practicum. So I did have some connections, but I was very, I want to say pushy, but more so passionate. I would go to labor and delivery units and say, I'm going to be a midwife. I need to be in labor and delivery. Like, this is absolutely what I would want to do. And I think for the most part, that's worked out for me, is having that passion and drive to, you know, showing them this is not just like, hey, I want a job because babies are cool. I want to what I want to do with.
Oh, I had the same thing, because as labor and delivery new graduate, I got to be on there. But when you're internal in the system as the CNA and you put on all your choices, labor and they give you three options. You know, you can get the new fellowship. I was like, labor and delivery, NICU, postpartum, because I know these are the internal transfers to get into there. Like, you are putting me on med surg. Like, I knew, like, it's that same drive. Yeah.
And so I was thrilled that I got a new grad job there, and I was oriented to mom baby first, then labor and delivery, then the OR for to circulate for C-sections. And once I was done with all of that training, I started being like, oh, you know what? I can be a nurse and I can work here forever. I love it. And as the months went on, I noticed, hey, like, I wanted to be a midwife. And even though I do love being a labor and delivery nurse, I know that I need to go to the next thing. So 15 months after I graduated nursing school, I applied to Georgetown and completed their midwifery program. And I ultimately was hired at the end of my education for the practice that had privileges at the hospital I was at. So I technically worked somewhere else, but
it's the same system and the philosophy, and you got to continue on with that. Perfect. I know one thing before we started recording, you were saying how passionate you are about language and informed consent. And it makes total sense now, telling the story about your brother and just seeing the life you're seeing. I think sometimes midwives forget, or even providers or nurses, because we've got such a systematic healthcare system. We're only seeing tiny pieces of the puzzle. We're not seeing the postpartum recovery. We're not seeing the 34 years after a birth experience, the long-term implications it has. So I would love for you to kind of expand on how it's shifted you. And even as you get more experience, that moral injury, the consent, and how you approach it.
So definitely with my mom's birth, she has all her records that I was able to look at. And obviously there's hindsight from there, but looking at the fact that she had declined certain interventions and they were actually documented as happening. And some of those may have been very benign and didn't contribute to anything that happened with my brother, but just seeing how something very benign to a midwife or an OBGYN or a nurse is not always benign to the patient in the sense of, oh, well, I didn't know I was signing up for that. And I even get more discouraged when patients say, oh, modesty goes out the door once I have to go into labor, which, you know, I know that's a playful way to say something, and maybe they truly do feel like that and it doesn't bother them, but so much of how we're treated during labor and birth actually transfers into our lives. So if we've been brought up to say, hey, what I say doesn't matter. When I say no, no one listens. That's not just in emergent situations or medical or delivery situations. That transfers to other parts in life. And definitely, probably I practice so different than when I did as a nurse, because obviously as a labor and delivery nurse, you're like, oh, well, they're having a baby. So obviously at one point we're going to see their vagina and their baby's going to come out of there. Mm-hmm. But that is very scary for most people, understandably. Yeah. And I definitely changed my language as time goes on. And especially with training midwifery students, residents, that just because you have this title or whatever it is, whether you're the OBGYN surgeon, whether you're just in there to clean the bathroom for them. You know, this is an intimate experience, and letting that patient know what you are expecting to happen, or giving them the option to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. Saying, okay, you're going to feel me touch here. There's no opportunity for that patient to say, oh, hold up, what are you doing? That is just being consent. And as time's gone on, I've become very particular about this. And I did have one patient who, you know, playfully made fun of me. She goes, are you going to ask permission every single time? And she's laughing like, go ahead, do whatever you got to do.
Not used to it, yeah.
You know, and I, yes, every single time I'm going to ask, is it okay that I check your cervix?
Or just because you said it was okay an hour ago, it may not be okay now. It doesn't give a universal consent. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And unfortunately, you know, every day I feel like I am prompting, you know, other healthcare providers, hey, we didn't ask consent, or, you know, you might be doing something you think is helpful, even placing, you know, a warm washcloth on their perineum while they're pushing. But
That's a private area. It's not holding their hand. It's a very sensitive, and yeah, we don't give enough credit because we forget that organ, that it's a very sensitive area. It's her personal private. It's used for other purposes after the baby. Like, we don't give enough credit. Or if they've had past trauma, you have no idea what those sensations are, what guarded, like, yeah, we have to be very delicate with our verbiage and how we approach just things we think of as common basic interventions that may not be to that person.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, right now I always say I have a bunch of soapboxes at work, and that is definitely one of, you know, the biggest ones, because, you know, like I said before, with my mother's birth, with other births I've seen, and even when you said, you know, what I think is a bad birth, or was, you know, a tough one, or really, you know, that does not always translate to the patient. So if that, all I can do is give the patient power for them to say, hey, you know, regardless of the outcome of this, I felt safe. My provider
choices, I knew all my options. I picked it, and I think that's what we sometimes forget. The power midwives happen. We're not so much, we may or may not change an outcome, but we're keeping them involved. They get to make the decision. They're the ones that picked versus we picked, and now they're feeling disempowered. Would that have happened if I got to pick the decision? And those things come out as ripple effects long-term.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I even am curious, like, even in litigation, we see it so much with nurses and midwives and certain occupations that are heavier in education, heavier in relationship building, just have less litigation, have less traumatic birth experiences and depression, because we not saying stereotypically, but we value that education. We value that human rights that they have, versus, I think sometimes medical systems, it's very treatment procedures. They're so so detailed on the disease processes, but they've never been at the bedside. They've never held someone's hand during hospice or watched their loved one. Like that emotional side, I see it. You can see it between PAs and NPs. You can see it between midwives and physicians. Just a lot of it's our training. And how do we get more of that clinical bedside where, okay, not just the physicians have to catch the baby, but they have to do labor support on so many ladies, for they have to do like doula work. Like, I don't know, like how can we get more involved in the human stages of labor and the human connection side of medicine that I feel like is getting lost.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
So no, I think it's amazing. I'm so glad that you are a midwife out there advocating for women. I just talked to a couple of weeks ago, one that's doing her PhD on nursing research and informed consent. So I'll definitely have to connect you guys together because you're both so passionate about very similar subjects. So. Well, thank you, Brittany. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.